Well, the Supreme Court is hearing arguments today over mifepristone, the first of two pills taken in a medication abortion, which is only done in the first 10 weeks of pregnancy. Since the court overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022, mifepristone and the two-pill medication abortion account for nearly two-thirds of all abortions in the formal health care system in the U.S., and the use of mail-order pills outside the system has reportedly soared since the court overturned Roe v. Wade. Researchers have studied this drug. They say it's safe. But that's being questioned by plaintiffs in the case. So what's at stake? Michelle Goodwin is professor of constitutional law and global health policy at Georgetown Law. Professor, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
And first, how we got here. The FDA first approved the pill more than 20 years ago. In recent years, the FDA expanded the time frame within which it can be used, allowed it to be mailed. What are the plaintiffs suing to change at the court today?
At the lower court level, what the plaintiffs wanted was for mifepristone to be removed entirely from the U.S. marketplace, which would then affect not only states that had abortion bans, but also those states that do not ban abortion or have expanded coverage, which is perhaps also why pharmaceutical companies have come forward and raised alarm about this particular case.
Yeah, how did it fare in the lower court? I mean, we're at the Supreme Court.
In the lower court, this is a case where there was form shopping that has been suggested. The plaintiff sought out a judge who was a known lawyer representing anti-abortion groups, and he conceded with the arguments that they made. A significant argument made before the Supreme Court today was whether those plaintiffs had any standing and whether the judge perhaps ignored other matters, not only standing, but also statute of limitations, because this was a case that was brought very recently, but the statute of limitations would have expired in 2006.
Right. So now the Supreme Court is considering, you know, restricting access. And we should say there's a second pill used in this regimen, misoprostol. Can that be used alone if the court overturns mifepristone? I mean, what might some of the outcomes here be?
Well, it is possible that it's possible that misoprostol could be used without mifepristone. It would be a different kind of regimen in terms of the amount of misoprostol that would need to be used in order to successfully terminate a pregnancy, but based on the oral arguments today, the Supreme Court wasn't leaning in that direction, including amongst conservative justices.
Yeah, what else are you hearing?
Well, the conservative justices, along with the liberals, were really concerned about whether these individuals would qualify to have standing under Article 3 of the Constitution, which would mean that they would somehow have been directly affected by this decision. And one of the matters that came out is that conscious objections, which the FDA respects, would allow these individuals or any others who do not want to be involved in performing abortions, they would not have to be. What the litigants in this case claimed was that mifepristone needed to be removed from the U.S. marketplace because they would be persons who would have to help individuals who were suffering from ill effects associated with abortion. Now, that raises questions about whether the drug actually is safe and efficacious. And also they raise questions with regard to a rush to the marketplace. That wasn't taken up in this case, but certainly the issues as to whether these individuals actually qualify to have standing. Mm-hmm. And it seemed that hash was made of that argument by almost all of the justices, save perhaps with Justice Thomas and Alito. Mm-hmm. And even there were some concessions that were made.
Interesting. So we will continue to follow this. Michelle Goodwin, professor of constitutional law and global health policy at Georgetown Law. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
Pharmacists are also watching the Supreme Court case. As of last year, the FDA allowed pharmacies to fill mifepristone prescriptions. Meyer Dev works at an independent pharmacy that dispenses the pill. He is head pharmacist at Fairmont Pharmacy in Phoenix. Meyer, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
So for a while, patients could only get these abortion pills from doctors. Now, how does it work with your pharmacy? Do you dispense mifepristone the same way you fill any other prescription?
Yes and no. We actually have to go through some guidelines to actually get the medication in the pharmacy. It's not one that's available through our normal wholesaler. there's a program where you'd have to become a certified pharmacy. So we'd have a patient come to the pharmacy and we'd, you know, double check that it's coming from a healthcare provider that's been through this program. And then there's like a patient agreement form that needs to be filled out between the patient and the pharmacist. And then go ahead and give the medication to the patient.
Do you interact much with patients filling these prescriptions? I'm curious what they might tell you about why they're doing this.
We have a lot of interaction with the patients. It's actually mandatory that we counsel the patient when they come get this medication. And at the time when we first started this, we were one of the very few pharmacies that were actually carrying it in Phoenix. So we had other pharmacists send patients to us. And when these patients do come to us, they are so grateful that we carry it.
I just wonder, is there a conversation that kind of stays with you?
Actually, every one of them does. When you hear the stories of why a certain individual is getting on this medication, it actually will bring a tear to your eye because it is that touching and it's that important for that individual, whether it could be life-saving or whatever reason why they decided to do this.
Are there pharmacists you know who feel uncomfortable filling these prescriptions for their own reasons?
I've spoken to some colleagues and they don't have the same thought process as I do. For whatever reason, I can't, you know, blame them for it, but you know, they don't want to have access to this medication to dispense it to people. For me, I it's a little troubling because if we all got into this to take care of the health of individuals as we do with, you know, from pediatric patients all the way to the elderly, this falls right in that guidelines.
And finally, you know, across the country from you, of course, the U.S. Supreme Court is considering a case that goes to the FDA's underlying approval of mifepristone. The court could reduce, it could end access to this. If that happens, what is your own view of the implications for the patients you serve?
Well, I think what's being lost in this also is mifepristone is actually used for other indications. It could be used for, you know, Cushing's syndrome or uterine glioma. So, you know, there's other populations of patients that if they restrict this or get rid of it, you know, those patients are going to suffer also.
So it sounds like you have your job to do. You will be watching this case somewhat closely yourself?
Yeah, I will be. If you've helped the people that we've helped with this medication, you might forget their name, but you will not forget the story. And, you know, the tears that you shed and the patient sheds by, you know, when you're sitting there and you're talking to them about this in a, you know, in confidential, like, you know, this is what you're getting. And it's just like, you know, it touches your heart. And, you know, to be denied the ability to help people in this manner, I think it's a tragedy.
We've been talking to Mayur Dev, head pharmacist at Fairmount Pharmacy in Phoenix. Mayur, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.